just a sulky, over bumpy,
kinda hunky superhero.
Hot to fisted and electrically transistored superhero. An exotically neurotic
and aquatic superhero.
The Marvel superheroes have arrived.
Hello, welcome to Marvel Vision, a Marvel Studios TV show podcast brought to you by Cinema Sangha. My name is Devin Faraci. I am one of the hosts of the program. Joining me, as he traditionally does,
my name is Derek Faraci, and we're getting requests for confirmation from all the big Tibetan papers except for Lhasa Express. They're playing their usual games. How are you, Devin?
I am okay. How is life by you?
It's okay. It's okay.
You're taking a big trip.
I am.
Do you start packing early, or are you like a packing the night before guy?
I have not packed yet, so no.
Are you going to like do like a ton of laundry?
Yeah, yeah. I'll do laundry, and then I'll pack like Monday or probably Tuesday, to be
okay.
honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a pretty late packer.
Yeah, I'll do it Tuesday night, and then I'm off on Wednesday morning, so there you go.
You know what's really changed my life in terms of packing?
What
is the understanding that unless I'm really going someplace truly like off the beaten path, wherever I go, I can get the stuff I need.
Yes.
But there's nothing I can't get.
Yes.
You know, and that's like very freeing when you're packing, because like you don't have to freak out that you forgot your toothpaste.
Yes.
Like it's like, oh, I just
as a matter of fact, you can't bring your toothpaste.
If you have checked baggage, you can.
I don't check baggage.
Oh, there you go. I've also just brought toothpaste on my carry-on.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. I have, especially when I had like a lower amount of toothpaste in the tube.
Sure.
Throw it in there, and if they give me a hard time, I throw it out. Like, it's not a big deal. But you'd be surprised the stuff I have gotten through TSA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing like super illegal, but like stuff I forgot that I had.
Child.
I mean, just some weapons, stuff that I forgot that I had, and it just kind of made it through. They didn't look that hard.
Oh, there you go.
So you should feel very safe when you're flying.
I mean, I mainly feel okay right now because I checked all my flights and none of them are Boeing 747s. So
that 747 isn't the issue.
Today there was a 747 where the engine exploded.
Well, the big issue is 787s though.
It's not none of those either.
It's not a Boeing at all?
There's one Boeing 737.
I don't know. I would be nervous about it. How many flights you got?
I'm flying from here to New York and then New York to Ireland and then Ireland to New York and then New York to back to.
How long's your layover?
Where? In New York?
I would assume you have one layover in New York, yeah.
Yeah. No, I have two layovers.
How do you have two layovers?
Because I have to fly from here to Chicago to get to New York.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
Yeah. But that's like a 20-minute layover. Just enough time for me to be worried that I'm not going to make it to my
flight. No, you're not going to make it. That's horrible.
I'll make it.
No, you're going to have your flights delayed by 10 minutes. You're fucked.
No, I'm fine.
What's your New York layover?
New York layover is like 4 hours.
Oof.
Yeah.
That's one of those layovers. It's not quite long enough to go out.
No.
You kind of have to stick around the airport.
Yeah, especially since it's a, overseas flight. Like, you got to be there. It takes even longer to get through everything then.
So. You should be through everything by that point, shouldn't you?
But if you go out and want to go back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough, man. That's tough.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll be fine. I'm going to have Paul Scheer's new book with me. So
there you go. Up.
Yeah.
My
big dilemma right now.
Yeah.
Is this weekend is the Motor City Comic Con.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want to go or not.
Why not?
Do I want to spend the money on it? You know? That's the thing.
How much money?
Ticket is $45 for a day.
Oh, that's pretty expensive.
It is.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't go.
And then if I did go, the one thing that's making me think I want to go is Tom Wilson from Back to the Future is going to be there. And I have that menu from the diner that you got me many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. I was like, that'd be fun to have him sign that.
That would be fun, but he's probably going to charge you $40 to do that too.
He's going to charge me $60.
Holy shit, it's $100.
Yes. Also, you can do a photo op with John Ratzenberger and George Wendt for $125.
You know, I mean, almost worth it, frankly. That's actually
right. That one, I was like, if they were in like a set that looked like Cheers, that would 100% be worth it.
I mean, they're just going to be standing in front of a curtain. But yes. Yeah, no, that's...
But even if the curtain was made to look like Cheers, like, it, right. like if the curtain had the Cheers bar on it, I'd be like, that might be worth it.
What if you like brought like some fake glasses of beer?
There you
like
go.
Like old Steins and got like, you know, like ones that look like they're full and then you got them to hold it up for you and like cheers you in the photo. Yeah. That'd be worth it.
That'd be fun.
Now we're talking about spending $200 at this point.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. William Shatner's going to be there. So that's exciting.
Yeah, Shat, you know, I hosted a Q&A with Shatner.
I know.
Probably the highlight of my life, honestly. You're supposed to say like getting married or whatever it is, but definitely hosting a Q&A with Shatner. And the reason why it was such a highlight, I mean, a number of reasons. One, I've loved William Shatner literally my entire life.
Yeah.
I was a little kid arguing with grownups that William Shatner was the greatest actor who ever lived. Yep. And but more than that, when I was getting ready to host the Q&A, it was a screening of Star Trek II. I was told that either Shatner might very well at the last minute not want to have a host. He might just want to tell stories by himself.
Sure, sure.
Or that if he did have a host, he might be super fucking mean. Okay. And so I was like, okay, well, you know what? Obviously, worst case is he doesn't even want the host. That would be horrible. But if he was mean to me, I think that'd be great. Like, that's a pretty good story. Like, Shatner was mean to me on stage. The thing is, Shatner and I had a great rapport. And we had a great time.
Yeah.
And he was very funny, and we bantered a little bit. Like, I bantered with Captain Kirk.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. There was one point where he was telling a story about Star Trek the Motion Picture, and he couldn't remember the name of Douglas Trumbull. And I said, Douglas Trumbull, who did this, the special effects. And he goes, how do you know these things?
Jamie Devon.
Well, big shades of Get a Life. Really enjoyed it. So that was very, very special. But however, my understanding is that Shat in a signings or photo scenario is not that great.
Oh, yeah. I would not go to him. I mean, an autograph is $150.
I mean, he will be dead soon, though. So
I'm sorry. He's got two different autograph prices.
Okay. So the other time I saw Shatner, we went to see him. He was at a screening of a movie called, I think, Impulse. It's a film he made in the 70s. It's a totally fucked up movie where he's a lunatic. It's very good. And he did a Q&A afterwards. And he had done the rocket thing where he had gone to space.
Yeah.
And
this is pretty recent.
Yeah, this is recent. This was year before last.
Okay.
2022. So he had gone to space. And the thing is, everybody tries to spin it like he had like had this like beautiful experience in space.
He hated it.
Hearing him talk about it and about how depressed it made him. Yeah. And, like, it was incredible. It was so dark. The darkest anyone's ever spoken about going to space.
I watched it live when they landed, and he was like, I've never felt more insignificant in my life, and like all this stuff. It's like, oh my God. That's amazing. No one has ever come back from space and said those things. You know, it was pretty impressive.
It's really something else. And he told that whole story. It was a very good Q&A. He spoke about the Halloween mask, which was very exciting.
That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, right. I don't think he's worth it.
You want to know who else is there?
Who?
We got Charlie Hunnam.
Okay.
We got Helen Hunt.
Okay.
I'm not sure what, and she's doing a special screening of Twister.
Okay.
So that's kind of fun, I guess, if you like that movie. Katie Sackhoff.
Mm-hmm.
Karen Allen.
Mm-hmm.
A whole bunch of people from Avatar, like the animated series. A bunch of the voice
actors. The usual crew. This is people that go to every convention.
Heather Graham. Bruce Greenwood and Carla Gugino. But it doesn't look like they're doing a photo shoot for that movie where he handcuffs her and then has a heart attack and she's trapped on the bed, which is too bad. That would be the photo shoot I would have paid for. It's like, okay, she's handcuffed to the bed and then we just both lay there like we're dead. I would pay for that. That'd be fun. Who else?
Disturbing. Yeah. The usuals. It'd just
be a funny picture.
The usuals. I went to a movie this week.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Colby Smulders is going to be there. Maybe I'll go and get like print out a picture of her dead on in Secret Invasion and have her sign that.
Then we can give it away in a contest on the site.
Yeah.
I thought of you watching this movie.
What movie?
Hundreds of Beavers.
Oh, I want to see that.
I think you're going to love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, it's like crazy good. It's just a live-action Looney Tune.
Perfect.
And it's not like there's nothing to it. It's not ironic. There's no irony in it.
Yeah.
There's no like there's like some stuff that's like a little bit like from a modern sensibility, but not like there aren't like Taylor Swift jokes.
Sure.
I would say 99% of this movie could have been made in 1912.
Perfect.
Like in terms of the gags and stuff, like it's just that. And it has a really interesting video game influence.
Okay.
But like in a fascinating way that like I think speaks to how video games influence the storytelling of younger people.
Okay.
As opposed to like having like Mario jokes. It's just how the structure is. And I've read an interview with the director where he says that the whole second act is basically watching a Let's Play.
Okay.
If the video game was this guy learning how to be a fur trapper.
Sure.
And that's like instead of doing a montage, they wanted to just play it out like if you were playing a game. And I thought that was really interesting. It's really funny, though. It's really, really funny. I laughed a lot. And it's very dumb. And it sticks to the bit the whole time, like really sticks to the bit, which is that it's a silent movie. Although it has sound effects and music, the actors don't really speak.
Sure.
And all of the animals are either puppets or people in mascot costumes.
Okay, that's fun.
Oh, it's incredible. No, it's incredible. So yeah, it's something else. It's on streaming right now. I really enjoyed it in a movie theater.
It is not playing near me. I was looking it up just now.
It plays all over the place. Like they're touring it. They're keeping it in theaters because like when I went, there were people who were there who had coonskin caps and people who were there in beaver costumes.
Oh wow, that's very cool.
Yeah, so it's like got this like cult thing going on around it. And at my first saw people in the coonskin caps, I was like, ugh, Jesus, this is going to be like a fucking call and response Rocky Horror thing. But no, they just love the movie. And I get it. Like, and it's just, it's very stupid. It's very stupid.
This is the year for that kind of thing.
Yeah, but this and Unfrosted. Yeah.
Oh, I was saying like movies like traveling from theater to theater and fans dressing up for it, but like not to be annoying, but just to support it. Like, because it's this and I forgot the name of it, the Joker movie.
People's Joker.
People's Joker. They're doing that as well. They're taking it like city to city.
Yeah. They're four-walling it, is what they say.
But that's where you buy out the theater, right? This is, they're not doing that, are they?
They might be.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, this might be a case where they worked with, I saw the Lemley, which is a very independent theater chain.
Yeah.
And the Lemley might have just worked out a deal with them.
Sure.
I think People's Joker is doing some four-walling, I think.
Okay.
I think, but don't take my word on it.
Yep.
So, anyway, I highly recommend it. It's very, 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 very funny. Very, 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 very stupid.
So. Now that I know it's streaming, because I thought it was just in theaters. I knew it wasn't playing near me. I didn't realize it was in streaming.
So. It's doing the streams.
There you go.
Although, like, you got to kind of be in the theater to hear the energy of everybody fucking bursting into applause when the title of the movie finally comes up.
Okay.
Because it's one of those movies where the title comes in like an hour and 10 minutes.
Okay.
Not at the end, but like an hour and 10 minutes in. And it is just like, and the fucking theater erupted. It was incredible.
I will say Michigan theaters, usually pretty quiet.
I suspect like if you got into your car and went to like you don't have a car, but to like a college area where this movie might be playing, that audience would probably be very demonstrative.
Maybe.
So.
Maybe. I know that when I saw Endgame, theater was silent.
Crazy.
Yep. You know why? Michiganders respect the filmmaker.
I mean, I understand that, but like having been in movie theaters for that movie and having heard the crowd go nuts and having heard the crowd go nuts at No Way Home, what an experience. What a great experience.
Yeah.
When you go nuts, when you make noise in the correct way, like when you watch No Way Home at home now, you can see that they built applause breaks into that movie.
Oh, yeah.
So like when Toby comes through the thing, they built an applause break into it.
Yeah.
They knew. Just like, that's how old musicals did it. Old musicals, after the musical numbers, there's always this like moment of like silence because there's an applause break.
Yeah.
So.
Also, so especially in the case of the Marx Brothers movies where they finish their musical sequence and then don't cut. And so they have to catch their breath. It was very weird to me in some of the earlier ones, like Coconuts, where it's like, now we sit here for 10 seconds while the Groucho catches his breath.
There you go. All right. We got any news this week?
We got a lot of news this week. Scott Snyder, noted writer of Batman, Justice League, and my personal favorite, Witches, was one of the people who went to the Superman set when they brought all the writers and artists and stuff out there. And he did a little write-up and a little audio on it where he discussed what he saw, including what sounds like an action scene between Superman and Lex Luthor. So that's exciting.
Huh.
And he said that Lex was in his Lex suit, which could be a business suit. It could be the armor. It could be his purple jumpsuit. Who knows?
Hmm.
Who knows? But there you go. He said it was very fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. Or Lex dress, he said. He's in his Lex dress.
Maybe it's literally a dress. Maybe this is a more gender expansive take on Lex Luthor.
Maybe. Maybe. Lex and Lena. Frank Grillo has joined Peacemaker Season 2 as Rick Flagg Sr., which he's also playing at Creature Commandos.
A lot of people have noted that he is not that much older than Joel Kinnaman.
3 years.
I thought it was more than that.
I believe it's 3 years.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. In the motion picture Manchurian Candidate.
14 years.
Yeah, 13 years. It's a big difference. It's a pretty big difference. He could actually technically be that guy's dad. Like it's an edge case, but he could technically be. In Manchurian Candidate, Angela Lansbury is younger than her son.
There you go.
It's called acting, folks, and it is also called things like a little bit of makeup or costuming that will give you the sense that a person is playing.
What's the movie where they do that as a gag? Is it Pootie Tang? Is it that one where the guy's dad is a kid?
And I don't know.
That's the joke is that, like they always cast actors that are roughly the same age. One of them's like a parent.
I think. I don't have a problem with it. Frank Grillo's great, and I think also Joel Kinnaman is every age, having been a person who watches For All Mankind.
Yes.
Joel Kinnaman's every age, so I don't mind. No, nobody is younger or older than Joel Kinnaman.
Joel Kinnaman is.
Yeah. So I'm not super worried about it.
Yes. Joel Kinnaman, on his license, it says age, and he just says yes.
Yes.
Yes, I am age. Some dual Spider-Man news. Silk Spider Society series is not moving forward at Amazon.
This is my favorite story of the week.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, because Amazon kept asking them to change things as they were trying to figure out what the show was. And one of the requests they made was, can we have less Silk in the Silk television show? That's incredible. That's so amazing. I'm going to tell you something. I don't really like Silk very much, so I totally get that impulse to say, can we have less Silk in the Silk television show? That was a show I never understood why they were making it, and I think somebody finally fucking wised up.
Yes, I agree. I agree. It seems like that was canceled, though, to make way for Spider-Man Noir with Nicolas Cage.
Live action.
Live action.
Very curious about it. I'm assuming it's going to look like Sin City.
I kind of hope so, because if it just looks like your basic run-of-the-mill TV show, lame. What's the point?
No, I agree. I agree. You know. It just can't be a regular TV show. It has to be Sin City.
Yeah.
I think that also sounds like a bad idea, but I'll probably watch
it. Oh, it sounds like a terrible idea.
I'm sure I'll watch it. It just really sounds like a bad idea. It's like, this is the kind of thing where it really is. It's just so funny that Spider-Man is the character that they're just milking dry in all these Sony's ways. It's so fascinating to me. It's so wild.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing, like, I sit there and I watch this, and I'm like, it's amazing that Warner Brothers never figured out, like, why don't we do this with Batman? We have a billion Batman characters. Just call them all Batman whatever and just go with it.
No, it's weird. No. I mean, yeah, they never did like Nightwing or whatever. They did do Steel.
Yes, but that's not Batman.
That's not Batman, but I'm saying they did do a shitty cash-in on a main notable hero.
Yes, and that was very much like how they almost made the movie with Bad Bunny.
Right.
Because he was like, oh, I want to be in a Spider-Man thing, and they're like, here's some Mexican character. I guess you can play him. Like, this guy showed up once. Here you go.
It's so funny.
So, and that's how Steel happened, because Shaq had a Superman tattoo. We're like, we should make a movie.
Okay. So funny. So funny. Yeah.
Craziness.
Yeah.
Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow has a release date of summer 2026. I believe it was June something.
Well, you know what? Good for them. Good for them thinking there's going to be a June 2026.
Yeah.
I hope that they're leaving in some space where they can put in federally mandated sequences where characters talk about how great President for Life Trump is.
Yep.
And where Supergirl makes sure that she lets everybody know that her biggest enemy is DEI and woke.
She's going to say, Donald Trump, I'd fuck him.
I think we talked about this in the show before, but not only like have I hit a point in the world where I'm not really convinced there's going to be that many more years left, I've also hit a point in the world where I'm not convinced that we're going to be living in a free society in a year. And so as a result, when we talk about these kinds of things, I am really curious how it's all going to work out. And I'm really curious, like, I've been reading about like how all the artists fled Germany in the years leading up to World War II. And I'm just like kind of very intrigued to see what the direction things take if November goes as badly as I fear it will go.
Yeah.
This is the kind of conversation you want to have on your comic book TV show podcast, talking about cartoons this week. But it's just like so funny. I think about it. I go, what is 2026 going to look like?
I don't know. I haven't seen it yet.
I'm saying though, like, when you think about this movie coming out, like, what's the state of the world? Like, it's very interesting. I'm very curious. But you have to just keep making plans.
Coming out during World War II.
Yeah, but all the German movies became propaganda films.
Yes. And God knows the American movies weren't.
I mean, there were a lot of propaganda films in American movies too, but there was also just like a lot of like just good old entertainment. I mean, they were still making just regular movies too. But yeah, I mean, I'm very curious what it's going to look like. Very strange. Yeah,
we shall see. Booster Gold, according to what is this site, the Film and Television Industry Alliance, Booster Gold is set to start filming on July 8th
of this year. I'm not sure I believe that.
Yeah, it seems pretty wild to me that we've heard nothing about this.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but I feel like it's not gonna happen.
Yeah, we shall see. We shall see.
It seems, it's a movie or a TV show?
I believe it's a TV show.
I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we shall see.
I mean, props to Warner Brothers for getting it this far along without anything leaking at all.
I'm starting to wonder how difficult that is because, you know, we've heard nothing about Wonder Man. I think people just aren't paying attention to this stuff as much anymore. Who knows?
Well, I'll tell you what. There was an incident this week where Marvel is legally coming after one of the scoopers.
Yes.
And I do wonder if there's been more pressure on those people. The thing is, the mistake the scooper made was they posted some kind of video or image.
Yeah.
Can't do that. Never do that. Never, ever do that. That's when they get you. You can post information. But I wonder if on Marvel side, at least, there's a little bit more cracking down.
Pictures from Daredevil all over the place.
Those are people on the streets. Like, yeah. You can't stop that.
Yeah. So this was an on-set, like?
This was like a promotional image or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So, or it was footage. You know, I'm not clear which one it was, but it was one or the other. It was either promotional image or footage. It wasn't just like somebody walking between buildings in a costume. That's fair game. Like, if you're in public, you can take a photo. But I think Marvel might be cracking down a little bit harder, and which is why we're hearing a little bit less Marvel stuff than we have been in the past.
Sure.
Marvel was a really leaky ship in the first couple of phases.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, a lot of that leaking, I can tell you from personal experience, came from people directly involved in the highest levels of production.
Sure. And
they kind of wanted the leaks.
Yeah, they build up some buzz.
But that obviously is a direction they're moving away from. So, yeah.
Yeah. Just like how they're moving away from actually releasing their TV shows and stuff. They just want to film them and keep them all themselves.
The important thing is just having a nice time making it.
Yes. That's what they're doing. Speaking of their TV shows, it was Agatha All Along, apparently. That is going to be the final title of the show, which upset people for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't really know why either. Here's my take on this whole thing, which is that this week, the Marvel Twitter briefly posted Agatha the Lying Witch with a Great Wardrobe as the title.
Yep.
And then deleted it.
Yep.
And people were like, wait, they're calling it Agatha the Lying Witch with a Great Wardrobe? That's the title of the show now? They've had 11 titles. And it was very clear to me. I'm not sure how people don't see this. Like, it's like wild to me. That was a joke. And that was a joke premised on the idea that the show maybe has had either a couple of titles or each episode is going to have a thing where the title of the show changes per episode.
Yeah.
So one week it's Coven of Chaos, one week it's Darkhold Diaries, one week it's The Lying Witch with a Great Wardrobe, and one week – but it's always – the show is called Agatha All Along, and then the All Along fades into different text. But either way, this was a joke. And then when Marvel announced it, they put on Twitter the Agatha All Along song over an animation of all the titles morphing to Agatha – becoming Agatha All Along. And somebody said, you know – oh, this is the problem with all marketing now. It's too focused on the people who are paying attention to this. No regular people have any clue what this even means. And I mean, I never reply to strangers, but I replied to this guy. I said, this is an ad on the internet.
Hold on.
No, I dunk on strangers. It's different.
Oh, okay.
This was just a reply. I said, this is just for the internet. Like, this is not like an ad that's running on like ABC.
Like, and even if it is. It says Agatha All Along at the end, and then people are like, oh, Agatha, I know that.
But like even
maybe,
still.
Maybe
like,
I remember that show from 5 years ago.
And it probably cost them about $11 to make that. Like it was not like a big thing. It's just like a transitions between titles. But yeah, so it was very funny though to see the whole Lying Witch and her with a Great Wardrobe. People like really thinking that was the name of the show. And I was like, this is the crisis. This is the education crisis right here.
Yes.
It's obviously a bit, and maybe the show did change its name a couple of times, and that is like the source of the bit. I don't know. I mean, that makes sense to me. They were kind of playing with different names. They shot that show 100 years ago, most of it. So who knows? They did.
Who does know? Who does know?
When's it coming?
September.
Well, that's so at claim. Least
September 18th.
That's at least one Marvel Vision show we have on the calendar.
Yes. Meanwhile. Daredevil Born Again will be in March 2025, and Ironheart is also coming sometime in 2025.
Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it, baby.
Oh, Ironheart.
That girl's a grandmother now, since they began shooting the show so long ago, that girl's a grandmother now. A lot of people think that Daredevil has been cut down from 18 to 9 episodes. What do you think?
I don't know if it's been cut down, but that is what Charlie Cox said. He said it's 9 episodes. But I don't know if he was just talking about this season. Because they said before they were kind of – it was 2 seasons, right? So – and the theory was it was 18 episodes filmed at the same time, 2 seasons, 9 episodes each.
I am very curious about what's happening behind the scenes. Because the thing is, so you shoot 18 episodes and do it as one season. That's a contractual thing to keep costs down.
Yeah.
Because everybody gets a bump every season, and you don't want to have to do that.
Yeah, that's why you do season A and 1A and 1B.
Yeah, exactly. And I do wonder, though, if some element of when they had to renegotiate everybody's shit when they retooled the whole show.
I imagine. When they had to, like, refilm.
Yeah, I wonder if a lot of stuff changed because of that.
Yeah, I would think so.
I'm kind of very curious about that. I want to read the behind the scenes on this because – there might still be a second season planned. It's just they have to do it as a second season. They can't do it as 1A, 1B anymore because of how the nature of the contract went down or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I mean, 18 felt like a lot.
It did.
Up front. Like, up front, it felt like a lot.
It did. But at the same time, I miss when shows had like 18 episodes and 20 episodes, because that gave you space to goof around.
No, I agree. But do you think that they would have actually taken that space to goof around, especially if they're doing it as 2 9-episode seasons?
I think doing it as 2 9-episode seasons, no, probably not. Right. But I think if it was just 1 18-episode season, I think they would fit in that, like at least one episode where Daredevil's goofing around in some way. It's a lighter episode.
They apparently really changed the show.
Yeah.
Because Charlie Cox was talking a bit about it. And I thought that, you know, usually like these guys, they don't talk shit on the creatives that are on their shows. And he didn't talk shit on the original creatives that got fired when they retooled the show. But he talked about it in such a way that it was like adjacent to talking shit.
Yes.
Like, and he was like, oh, after he retooled it, it's much more like Daredevil. And, yeah. You know, we needed to have.
He was doing the answers you would see, like, people doing press tours when they made the third movie, but nobody liked the second movie. Where it's like, we went right back to the basics and we know what you want. We figured it out. Don't worry. And it's like, well, we didn't even see it. Unless they're just trying to, because people were so stupid about She-Hulk.
No, my assumption is that they did a massive course
correction. Yes.
I mean, that's my honest belief. The fact that they brought back Foggy and Karen, who were not even in it originally, that alone indicates a big course correction.
Yes.
He also said that it's more tied into the MCU than it used to be.
That's not hard to believe. That makes sense.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we'll see how. We'll see what they do.
I mean, I think it's about time, right? I mean, like, since that show, those Netflix shows were so deeply disconnected from the MCU to the point where, for whatever reason, the characters wouldn't even say names of heroes. Yeah. It's crazy.
What did they refer to the first Avengers movie as? They were like, that thing in New York or whatever, right?
Like, yeah. Like, they didn't even call it the Battle
of Battle. No, they called it, like, the Midtown fight or something. I can't.
Yeah, remember. Something like that. But they would like, you know, the flag guy and the big green guy. It's like, just fucking say Hulk and Captain America. Like,
yeah,
we want to hear it. And you legally can. I never understood that. You legally can do it. Like, I never got it, but
I mean, it was also a show that didn't let us know he had powers for 4 episodes.
Yeah. So. No, I know it was garbage. So I'm excited to see how they bring the MCU a little bit more closely into the show. I can't imagine how – I don't already know about it since I've watched the entire program already, played out on the streets of New York in paparazzi photos.
Yeah, we shall see.
Oh, man.
There's also, as you know, I'm not a big fan of rumors, but there is a rumor I'm going to put out there because I want it to become true, is that they're looking at doing a second season of Hawkeye.
That rumor is just dumb enough that I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barney being in it is, Hawkeye's brother. That is incredible.
Yes.
Just a total, Mort of the Month character.
Yes.
To bring him in as a main character in season 2 of Hawkeye. I think it makes a lot of sense to do a season 2 of Hawkeye. I think the show was well received. I think people have a very positive thing about what's his name these days because of his accident.
Yeah.
Where he died. So I'm excited about it, you know?
I hope it's true. Hawkeye is my favorite of the show so far. He's my favorite of the Avengers in the movies. And I'm looking for I want to see more. I like Kate Bishop. I thought she was a great character. I want to see more. And if they do it, great. I'm all for it.
Wait, I'm a little bit confused because Barney is not Trickshot.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not. I'm looking it up right now.
I looked it up earlier tonight.
His name, Trickshot's name is Buck Chisholm, which is fucking incredible name, by the way. Buck Chisholm.
Is that a different Trickshot?
I mean, I don't know. Is there another Trickshot?
I don't know. Like, half these characters, there's 4 different people who had the same superhero name or supervillain name.
Barney became Trickshot after the original Trickshot died.
There you go.
But the guy whose picture you posted, that's the old Trickshot. That isn't the current. That's Buck Chisholm. Buck Chisholm. What? That's like a porn star name.
It is definitively a porn star name.
Buck Chisholm.
That is the porn star name that George Costanza chooses.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. Oh,
I like Buck Chisholm. He's a good looking
guy. Buck Chisholm is the guy who trained. They retconned him as the guy who trained Hawkeye, and then he was dying because he drank and lived and smoked too much. And rather than just die in a hospital bed, he decided that he wanted to issue a death challenge to Hawkeye and say,
"There you go.
Kill me if you can."
Perfect.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's pretty good. So I would like that. Yeah, I would like a second season. The rumor also indicates that it's largely one location, if that's the case. I don't know if that's true or not, but
I mean, the way I see it, the show was well received. It did pretty good viewer numbers from what I know. And I would imagine of all the Marvel shows, it was the cheapest. That would be my theory. They filmed in Atlanta.
Right.
There's no like crazy effects in it.
Well, also, I think it's important to note that Bob Iger is like, we're going to stick with well-known characters.
Yeah.
And that's Hawkeye. He's very well-known. He's one of the original Avengers, right? So,
yeah.
That fits that bill in a pretty big way.
Yeah. Yeah. So we shall see. We shall see. I mean, the same scooper also said that they're looking at Dwayne Johnson to play Apocalypse. So
yeah, that ain't happening.
No. Take it all with a grain of salt.
That ain't happening.
And then finally, Natasha Lyonne has joined the Fantastic Four.
So who do you think?
She's got to be Alicia Masters, right? And then what's his face? Malkovich will be the puppet master.
I mean that does make sense. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I would kind of like her to be Medusa. She already has the hair.
Alicia Masters is also a redhead.
No, I know, but she has the hair.
Yeah, like, not but I don't like, see Medusa.
The hair.
I don't see Medusa having the voice of a New York aunt from the 70s.
That's my favorite part about that idea. Is that they go to the fucking Inhuman Adelaide, and she's talking like that, and like everybody else is like,
"Yeah, what's up,
lady?" And then she's talking like that. That's fucking incredible.
My hair grows.
It's so good. Yeah, man, that was so good.
I could also see them gender swapping Willy Lumpkin and her showing up as
she'd also be a good Willy Lumpkin, and Willy is a good gender swapping name.
Yes.
She's also a good voice for Herbie. Everybody that they keep casting, I'm like, that'd be a good voice for Herbie. They've cast so many great voices for Herbie in this movie.
Yes. There is one thing with all this casting I keep thinking is like, if you're right, and in this movie their universe is destroyed, too bad all these people can't show up again. Like, I'll be bummed if Natasha Lyonne can't show up as Alicia Masters again. You know, that's too bad.
And well,
use up all the villains like this.
I mean, you could always just have that person show up as Earth 616 version of themselves.
Yeah, that's where it gets real weird, though.
Yeah, I know. But that's the multiverse, man.
Yeah.
And I actually think that, honestly, opening this movie with Ben and Alicia together, and then their universe is destroyed. And then in the sequel, Ben is in our universe and he's wooing Alicia. That's actually a good Ben story.
Yeah.
That's a really good Ben story, I think.
That is a good Ben story.
And I think that having the tragedy of that he was with her and that now in this universe, she's just not as interested or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he has to try to win her over. I think it's just a really, really good Ben subplot.
That's true.
And it has that right, this man, this monster feel to it. Yeah. I think one of the things also is that if everything we're hearing is correct, which is that this is a Fantastic Four who is later on in their lives, Ben's already done this man, this monster.
Yes.
Right? Like, he's a guy who's maybe more okay with being who he is.
Sure.
And I think that there's something really interesting in trying to figure out how to get him back to that state, because that's his best dramatic stuff.
Yeah.
In my mind, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway, who knows? That's just these are just ideas, just thoughts. We're just fan fictioning here.
Thinking. Yep. We shall see. We shall see.
We shall see.
We shall see. And also, I don't think you could do a whole movie with the puppet master at the end of the day.
No, he definitely is a character.
Yes.
He could be an old villain, but they're not even a villain anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. We'll see.
So who knows?
We'll see what they do. We shall see. And that's all the news. That's it. We are out of news.
We are out of news. That's a lot of news, though.
That is a lot of news.
And it's like big news.
Yes. I mean, Natasha Lyonne, again, whatever the Fantastic Four movie ends up being, it's got a hell of a cast. You know? Like, this cast is wild.
And no, it's a crazy cast. And it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, like, it has that old Marvel feel of, like, a bunch of actors you're kind of really excited to see together.
Yes. Yes. So. Yeah, I'm interested to see what they do.
There's one last rumor that's probably not true, but that I like so much that we're going to talk about it, which is that Marvel is developing a Blonde Phantom TV show.
That's from the same person who said Hawkeye.
Oh, man. This is so clearly not true. however, I love it. Like, the idea that they are going to adapt fucking timely comics from 1947 is just fucking unreal.
Yes.
Unreal. Like, just a terrific fucking idea.
I like that, like, Marvel comes out and, like, we're cutting back. We're only using well-established characters. We got to stop this stuff. Oh, and also Blonde Phantom.
I mean, like, I mean, at the very least, it's like, well, this is not woke. Here's another white woman character.
Yeah.
Man. I love it. I love it. So that's my favorite rumor of the week. It would be kind of amazing if we got a fucking Blonde Phantom TV show on Disney Plus. Nuts.
Maybe it'll be an animated series. I have a feeling they're going to start doing a lot more animated series.
They take much longer.
They take longer, but
they're cheaper, but
they're cheaper. You can do more goofy stuff with them and you can gauge audience interest that way. Like, the X-Men movies would not have taken off without the 90s X-Men cartoon, right? Like,
well, so they wouldn't have been made without the X-Men cartoon. I'm not comfortable saying they wouldn't have taken off without them. They wouldn't have been made because it was the popularity of the X-Men cartoon that convinced Fox to give it a shot.
Yes.
But I think that the culture was there. I think that it's like Spider-Man. We talked about it in our last Watchmen, which is that the studios didn't understand there was a real hunger for superhero stuff, that there have been people who grew up on this stuff who were still super interested in it and very willing to spend money to go see it. And I think Spider-Man and X-Men are the two best examples of that.
Like Spider-Man, Marvel. I think Spider-Man was like a Batman or a Superman where he had broken into just mainstream. Everybody knew Spider-Man. I don't know if everybody knew Cyclops, you know.
No. I agree, but the studios didn't even understand that everybody knew Spider-Man in a way that mattered.
Yes.
Like, they didn't realize that, like, adults were going to come see this movie. Like, it was a real four-quadrant film. They didn't recognize that. And they didn't recognize without X-Men either. And X-Men, I think, had enough of a built-in base of people over the years who had read those comics who could tell their friends that it became, like, a whole thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Do you hear the cat crying?
I do.
Oh, man. Gus, I'm going to close your window. He has a window that he sits at, and he talks to his friends out the window. No, it's not
fine. He's doing his podcast.
He can't do his podcast while I'm doing my podcast. All he does all day is sleep, and then at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's time to scream out the window. Yeah. I'm like, you fucking son of a bitch. You son of – and he knows he's not supposed to, by the way, because he'll be screaming out the window in the other room, and I'll be like, Gus, enough. And then he'll be quiet for a minute because he knows he's not supposed to. And then he thinks he's waiting for me to fall back asleep. And then he starts screaming again. And then I have to go do the worst punishment that I could possibly think of to him. And that he does not like. And it really upsets him. And it might be abusive. I have to pick him up and I have to hug him. And I have to carry him into bed and put him under the covers with me. And he's very mad about it. But then he immediately goes to sleep. So. But he'll wake me up every fucking night at 2 a.m. screaming out the window.
Yeah. Good for him. He's living his best life.
He's got friends, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
He's got friends. So all right. Is that everything?
Oh, I forgot that Chris Hemsworth got angry at people, at actors who put down superhero movies. He thinks it's rude.
I think he's right.
He's 100% right.
He's definitely right. It's like, this was good enough for you when you wanted to like get a step up, and now you got to go talk shit about it. Like, nah, that's not cool. And somebody on Twitter was like, oh, but wasn't he just talking shit about Thor 4? But he wasn't. He was talking shit about his involvement in Thor
4. Yes, he was saying that we did not do a good enough job.
Right.
He wasn't saying like, oh, this is so childish and stupid. He's like, no, we didn't put in the effort we should have put in. We didn't put in the work we should have put in.
Right.
Yeah.
No, he's totally right. Like, especially if you're an actor who got like a real leg up, people always are surprised when Robert Downey Jr. is like, I love the Marvel thing. And it's like, guys, he's like a fucking billionaire because of it.
Yes.
Like, of course he fucking loves the Marvel thing.
Yeah.
Like, he recognizes that he knows what it was like to be in prison. Yes.
Robert Downey Jr. is not in Oppenheimer without Iron Man.
No.
It's just that easy. It's that basic.
Yeah. You know?
So that's how that goes. No, Chris Evans is not a famous actor without Captain America. Nobody knows who Chris Evans is without Captain America. You know, he's the guy who played Johnny Storm in two movies. That's who he is. You know, like, that's it. That's the end of that career.
No, these guys are really big stars now. Like, by the standards of the day, by the way, like, let's specify that there's no such thing as movie stars in any significant fashion anymore, but they're well known, and
except for Tom Cruise, apparently.
They can get stuff made, not even Tom Cruise anymore. Because Mission Impossible failed.
I heard an interesting theory on why Mission Impossible failed.
Why?
Because they called it part one.
I mean, that is part of the problem, I think, but also I don't think that it shouldn't make that big a difference if he's a big movie star still.
I guess.
Do you know what I mean? Like, everybody thinks they're going to go see every Tom Cruise movie if he's a big movie star. That shouldn't be too frightening. I honestly think the problem is that it's impossible to tell these Mission Impossibles apart.
That is a problem.
And when the trailer for this one came out, I still haven't even seen it, by the way. When the trailer, it's
really good.
I'm sure it is. They're all good. When the trailer for this one came out, though, and like half of the trailer was like saying, remember when this happened in the other Mission Impossible films? And I'm like, no, I do not. I do not remember this at all. I don't remember anything that happens in any of these movies.
It was when the bad guy shows up and they're like, oh, it's him. Remember? I'm like, I have no idea.
No clue.
I forgot he was in these movies.
How
and I possibly had just rewatched all of them before going to this one. So,
yeah, that's a series that has mythology that nobody can follow.
Nope. The funny thing is, I mean, it didn't bomb per se.
I mean, they're rewriting the whole second movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it made $600 million. It cost $300 million is the problem. You know?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
It's not what you want.
No. And let's not forget that I'm sure a big part of that $300 million is COVID hit. And then
they paid everybody
sat around in a boat for like 6 months, right? Well, he rented the whole boat and stuff.
Well, he paid the whole cast and crew the whole time.
Yeah.
Everybody else in COVID time got laid off, but they didn't do that. No, it's incredible.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I feel guilty I never got around to seeing it in theaters, because I wanted to support that idea.
Well.
I just wasn't having the best time last summer. So I was having challenges getting to the theater sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, what's our trivia this week?
Good question. What is our trivia this week?
Oh no.
Here we go. Which super team was comprised of four individuals resurrected by the four elements of their to be their champions on Earth? Ooh.
The Elementals?
The Elementals. Which
that's indie comic shit. Wow, that's pretty
crazy. We've had a couple of indie comics. We had a Grendel.
I guess we have. We had a Grendel, didn't we? Yeah.
Yeah. We had Spawn. Which iconic supervillain had his face skinned off?
Skinned off?
Mm-hmm.
Is the answer Dr. Doom?
No.
Who is it?
The Joker.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. That's such a stupid storyline. Yeah.
It was good. It's actually a very good storyline.
Yeah, that's great. Joker has his face nailed to his head. Yeah, it's terrific. Yeah amazing. Yeah.
That was a good story. You should, not talk about a story you didn't read. I don't know.
I think I did read the first two issues of it. And I was like,
you read the first two issues. And we all know comic books never go beyond two issues.
But I was like, I just can't. This is the whole fucking tone I can't deal with anymore. There's a really good Scott Aukerman tweet about the Joker.
Yes.
It says the Joker, it's chilling. He's like a character who almost finds crime funny.
Yeah.
It's so good. All right, what's our last trivia question?
This is good to lead into what we'll be discussing. What team was formed by the original X-Men following the first resurrection of Jean Grey?
X-Factor.
X-Factor. I love that it's the first resurrection of Jean Grey.
I mean, you got to be specific. It may not even have been the first resurrection of Jean Grey, frankly. But
it's not. It's actually the second, because she died and became the Phoenix.
Right? No, she never did. That's the thing. Wasn't it that the deal that she never did become the Phoenix?
That's what this was, right? This was their retcon for that?
Right, because they found her at the bottom of Jamaica Bay.
Yeah.
So that had never been her at all.
Yeah.
It was always just the Phoenix taking her form. She would never have been Jean Grey. That was how they were like, oh, Jean Grey did not commit the worst genocide in galactic history.
It was Jean Grey never had the Phoenix Force, except, you know, she does all the time now for some reason.
It's very highly confusing. All right, that's that for trivia. You ready to talk about the season finale of X-Men 97?
I am.
Let's do it. X-Men 97, Season 1, Episode 10, Tolerance is Extinction, Part 3. I look back, we've been doing this podcast for a minute, and we were doing this podcast when they announced X-Men 97. And I think both of us were like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, what a terrible idea, right? That was our initial thought on this?
Yes.
And I love when we're having a podcast and I ask you a question and you answer me like it's a police interrogation. Yes.
That is correct.
That is.
What you can't tell is sometimes I lean back and my lawyer tells me what to say.
I love it. It's like try to drag answers out of you over here, trying to have a conversation. But anyway, I don't think either one of us could have foreseen how good this show was going to be.
No. I don't think anyone could have. Like, it's the odds were against it in many ways, I think. And real impressive.
I'm going to say that this might be hyperbole. I don't know. I believe this is the best adaptation of Marvel ever. And I don't mean it's the best thing. I think, like, Spider-Man 2 is, like, an amazing movie.
Yeah.
But, like, in terms of actually adapting the source material, I don't think anything has ever – like, the really good Spider-Mans have gotten me close to the feeling of reading a really good Spider-Man storyline. This is like having absolute classic X-Men shit injected into my veins.
Sure.
It's crazy how concentrated classic X-Men this stuff is. And, I mean, how it captures every piece of what I love about those characters and that franchise. Mm. It's crazy. And it fucking knocks it out the park week after week, except for one bad episode. That's not even that bad. It's just like, okay.
It's really half of a bad episode.
Right, half a bad episode.
Because the Storm stuff was pretty good.
I was so hopeful that this week that episode was going to pay off in some way, but it didn't. I was like, there was a moment where I was like, oh, this is going to be the payoff. But that is never what happens. Anyway, okay, this episode opens with Chuck and Magneto.
Before we move too far,
yeah,
I want to discuss the title of this episode. They did not title it properly.
Why?
Because it should have just been called Now Kiss.
Really big Now Kiss vibes in this episode.
Yes. This whole episode is like, so Magneto and Professor X, they're going to make out, right? Like, Professor X is giving him fuck me eyes throughout the episode. It's crazy.
Look, I mean, the thing about X-Men is that the real metaphor for Xavier and Magneto is not Malcolm X and MLK. It really is a couple who keeps breaking up and getting back together again. And that's really what their deal is. It's just like they're constantly getting back together again, and they're constantly breaking up. They're constantly convincing the other one that they can change and see things their way.
Like Ben and J-Lo.
Yeah, Ben and J-Lo, exactly. They're the Professor X and Magneto of our time.
Now we know what superhero franchise is right for Ben. We figured it out.
Is he Magneto or Professor X, though? That's a good question, right?
I don't know. I guess Magneto?
Well, you know, I'll say that this opening scene is incredibly gay. I don't mean that in some kind of like tittering, oh, they're so homo. I mean, so they're at a bar and they're younger selves, and we know it's the past because classic rock is playing. Yes. And they're having a conversation about mutants. And the way the conversation goes is like two guys who work together who are both gay, who are not out, going out together and testing the waters to see if the other guy's gay.
Oh, it's a scene like right out of Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
You know, it has that feeling to it where they're both pretty sure, but they're not positive and they're trying to get an idea.
Yeah, and I mean, it has that vibe, and it has like a Mad Men vibe. Like, these are the days when you can't just be gay. So when you go out for drinks with a guy, it's like, you know, Professor X says some stuff that's pretty gay, and then Magneto says, I wouldn't be so loud about that if I were you.
Yeah. Like, and that's then Magneto's like, I'm gay too.
Well, I mean, once Professor X gets into his brain, he gets pretty excited about it. So, yeah, so the premise here is that this is early in the relationship, and Professor X is revealing to him his powers, and then Magneto reveals his powers to him. And then they hear – also there's all this water outside the window, and they hear Rogue screaming, Eric. And we realize we're inside Magneto's brain.
You know this also makes me think of? I think you saw it this week, the tweet of a young Professor X contacting Elvis.
Yes.
That was so good.
Do you know why that was a really good tweet?
My name is Charles Xavier. I'm 8 years old and I'm your biggest fan.
Well, what's really funny about that is that that person wrote that tweet in exact Professor X voice.
Yes.
Is, you know, hello, Elvis. Can you hear me? My name is Charles Xavier. I'm 8 years old. I'm your biggest fan. Like, but it's exactly in Professor X voice. It's crazy how much that guy captured Professor X voice.
Yeah, it was great. It made me laugh so hard.
That's my favorite genre of dumb tweets is when somebody writes a dumb tweet from a character's POV and they just nail the voice.
Nail it. Yeah.
Fucking amazing. Yeah, but I love that. Elvis, can you hear me? And it's a picture of Elvis performing on TV with his hands on either side of his head.
Perfect.
So we hear Rogue screaming, realize we're inside Magneto's brain, and we cut to the exterior. It's Asteroid M, and Magneto and Professor X are having a big wind battle. And they're shooting energy back and forth. They're spinning. They're dancing. And Professor X wins the fight. He fucking blows a whole beam of light into Magneto's brain. And when he does that, the power comes back on all around the Earth. We see he uses Magneto's power to turn the power back on. And we get a fucking dump of cameos here.
These cameos, I'm not going to lie, some of them very much upset me.
Why?
Because throughout this whole episode, Iron Man and Captain America are just standing around.
You know what? I actually love that. And I love it.
Hated it.
I know that you would, but I love it as like a little bit of a commentary. Not just standing around, they're standing around in the president's bunker. Yep. Like it's a little bit of a commentary on the white heteronormative heroes. Like when the shit gets bad, these guys who are the elite, where are they? Are they on the streets? No, they're hanging out with the president, making sure he's okay. Like I kind of like that as commentary. You know, if this was an Avengers cartoon, I wouldn't like it.
I don't think that was the commentary they were going for.
I disagree.
I don't think it was.
Why
would you also have Daredevil out there doing stuff?
Because he's a street level guy. He's a regular working class guy. That's why. Because the commentary here is that the Avengers are the 1%.
Then why is Spider-Man not doing stuff?
Well, the Spider-Man thing is weird. We're getting ahead of ourselves because Spider-Man shows up at the end with Mary Jane. And he's like walking down the street and he's
watching TV.
No, that isn't him, right? He comes walking by.
No, it's him and Mary Jane are standing there looking at the TVs in the window.
I don't think so. I think he comes walking by. I think that's somebody else standing
on those Jane. Two people are directly dressed like they were in the Spider-Man 90s cartoon.
Really? Because the other guy that comes walking behind him looks like classic John Romita Peter Parker.
Well, no.
I can't show it to you right now, but like I've watched it a couple times and I think like that looks like Peter Parker more than the guy standing with Mary Jane. Even though I know that guy with Mary Jane is supposed to be Peter Parker. That's fine. I think that's whatever. They already did a Spider-Man and I think Daredevil's doing all the street level stuff. So I think in terms of like showing your guys, I just love that they're standing in a room with the fucking president and they're just hanging out. They're just there. They're just being there. I love it. It's like they're the elites. They're the top boys. And so that means they're not really getting their hands dirty. And it's a little bit of a look at these fucking guys thing. I kind of love it.
No, I think you're reading into it.
Reading everything else that Bo DiMaio says on Twitter, I don't think I am. I honestly don't think I am. We see Silver Samurai. We see Iron Man and Cap. Iron Man not in a good costume, by the way.
He's in his 90s Iron Man cartoon costume.
Yeah, bad look. Yeah. We see Daredevil.
Although I've seen people being like, if Iron Man comes back in the movies, that's the armor you should have. And it's like, no.
Out of their minds.
No.
We see Doctor Strange doing surgery with sorcery. I really liked it a lot. That was really good.
Yeah, that was cool.
And then we cut Sebastian.
And Doctor Strange, certainly not an elite guy, is he? Once again, disproving your theory.
He's not an Avenger.
No, but he's still an elite hero.
But he's like
a sorcerer supreme.
Yeah, but he's a surgeon. Like, I think that there's like a sense of like some of these guys actually help people and some of these guys maintain the status quo. And the Avengers are the guys that maintain the status quo. Like Daredevil doesn't and Doctor Strange doesn't, right? Like
Doctor Strange's whole thing is making sure the status quo is kept.
Doctor Strange doesn't save the president. That's like an Avengers story, saving the president.
I'm saying when it comes to magic, he's there to make sure.
I understand that. I don't mean that like in terms of letting the world be destroyed by evil. What I mean is that the system that we have, the Avengers, their whole deal is protecting the American system that exists. That is not Daredevil's deal. That is not Cloak and Dagger's deal. That is not Doctor Strange's deal. Doctor Strange is keeping the world safe from outside things. But the Avengers, very traditionally, are dealing with American interests. It's the same thing as the Justice League. And so when you begin analyzing the politics of these different characters, the premise is that again and again, the Avengers act in the best interests of the United States of America. That's just the nature of the deal. I mean, it just is.
I don't think that's true with the Avengers. Like, the Avengers are not a government-sanctioned team. Like
they have been, for sure. For a long time. Yeah.
When
Henry Peter Gierek was their government liaison.
He was a liaison, but they weren't taking orders from the government.
Yes, they were. They were taking orders on who the members were. They were taking orders from the UN. You know, they 100% have. 100%. Like, trust me on my Avengers knowledge.
Well, the UN would not be America. That would be the UN.
The UN, many people will argue, serves Western hegemony. So it's not that different than being pro-America. Being pro-America doesn't mean being anti-England. It just means being really concerned about white Western people.
Although you'll notice that Captain Britain has never been a member of the Avengers.
Fuck that dude indeed. But I think that's like one of the one of the criticisms of teams like the Avengers and the Justice League. Now, one of the reasons why these teams are always interested in American things is because they're American comic books like that. Yeah. I mean, it's like in terms of like actual reality, that's not the case. But within when you start looking at their adventures within the universe that they're in, it becomes clear that their number one priority is continuously American interests. And then again, the Avengers had security clearances with the U.S. government. The Avengers are heavily involved with the U.S. government. Not always. And I don't think currently, not now, I don't think. But in the past, that has been a major, major element of storytelling for the Avengers. Especially up until the 90s, I would say.
So you wouldn't say that Magneto shutting down all the power on the planet would be in America's interest to stop that?
No, I think it is, obviously.
So then why aren't the Avengers getting involved?
Because the premise here is that they're protecting the president. That's the premise. That at Doomsday, what the Avengers are going to do is take care of the people who run the country. And that regular people at the end of the day are kind of up Schitt's Creek because the Avengers deal with gods and politicians and stuff like that. And they don't deal with regular people. And meanwhile, Daredevil and Cloak and Dagger do. So I think that's the
comment. This whole storyline is bigger than regular people. Like, the world is coming to an end. That's the thing the Avengers get involved with.
Nothing the Avengers can do about it.
Yeah, there's tons they can do about it.
Like what?
Like when the fucking asteroid M is falling out of the sky and they're still just standing there. Hey, motherfuckers, go help. It's literally, I mean, I know this is a different universe. It's the same as fucking Sokovia. like, hey, too bad we don't have Iron Man and Thor and the Avengers to help out. Like, go help. You can fight Magneto. They've done it before. Go help.
You sound like one of these people that don't know how these stories work.
So no, I know how these stories work. Here's the thing. In the comics, if you were going to show what the Avengers were doing during all of this, you would show them doing things besides standing next to the president. They would be doing something that's keeping them from going up to Asteroid.
But that's why I don't understand why you don't believe that that's purposeful then.
Because
these people know this too. They know
if it is purposeful, it's a misunderstanding of the characters, and it doesn't work.
I mean, the time that Captain America appeared in the series previously, he told Rogue, I can't help you because I have all of these fucking national security hangups that I can't get involved in stuff.
And but now,
on the character.
And now all the power on the Earth has been turned off and an asteroid is about to hit the United States. And he's still like, can't do anything about that. I just don't, that's poor writing. I don't buy it.
I mean, I don't have a problem with it. Again, I think it's a commentary. I think that maybe to help people like you, they shouldn't have shown the Avengers and just shown the other guys, I guess. I think it's not that big a deal. I've read enough comics where the world is ending and nobody else shows up.
Either you show why they can't show up or you don't show them. You don't show them just like sitting around on a couch.
They're
like,
protecting the president. That's why they can't.
They're not protecting the president.
They are. They're in the bunker with the president.
No, they're in the bunker with the president, but they don't do anything. Even when the president's in danger, they just stand there. They do nothing.
I can't believe we're having this argument. Even for this show. I can't believe how dug in you are on this. Okay, I'm gonna give you the point. They should have helped. They should have helped. I'm glad this show's over now because this show is the worst and they should have helped.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. This show's the worst. You are the fucking most annoying person at times. I want you to know this.
How did this podcast get spicy again? It hadn't been spicy for a long time. And we're getting spicy again.
Because you're getting real fucking dicky again.
Am I? Is that what it is?
I think so.
I'm back into it.
You're back, baby.
This Lexapro's working, it turns out. I was too depressed to be a dick, and now the Lexapro's working, and I can totally be a dick all the time. Perfect. There we go. That's how you grow a podcast. Get on the Lexapro and become an asshole. Bastion is giving a speech to Valerie Cooper, who we don't see again, so I'm a little concerned.
No, she shows up again, doesn't she?
When does she show up again?
Isn't she hanging out with Forge later?
Is she?
Yeah, I thought she was there with Forge, but...
Oh, she might be. I didn't catch her.
When Cable is in the...
Oh, yeah, you're right. She is. Okay.
Yeah.
He's giving a speech. Says, look at Professor X. And attempting to build his dream, he's actually helping me build mine. Because the one thing that could have stopped me was Magneto turn off all the power, and that was fucking me. But now the power's back, and so are all of my fucking Sentinels. And we cut back to Galapagos... Jean Grey drowns. We see her red hair go down.
Yep.
And Bastion has everybody captured. He has. I don't know what happened to Storm.
She got shot by the Sentinel in the last
episode. I know. I don't know why she doesn't fuck shit up right now.
I don't know why none of them. Like, Morph is just sitting there. He could turn into a worm and just get away.
I wonder if the headcanon here is that the Sentinel's tendrils have power negating abilities.
Sure, maybe.
It would actually make a lot of sense, right?
That would make perfect sense, I think.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. I mean, I would like
to see... You gotta say that kind of thing.
Yeah, I'd like to see a glow or something, right? On the tentacles. But I watched it a second time. I watched it a second time, and I was like, why is Storm not doing anything? Like, she could kill all these guys, like, very simply. He starts talking about how Professor X refused him as a child, that his mom begged Professor X to take him. And but that's not the case. The case, or maybe it is. I mean, I'm coming at this.
This is one thing. Storm and Cyclops later on are both like, no, your mom said no, but Professor X wanted you. And I don't know if it's from years of the comics or that I'm putting my own thing in and it's not part of this version of Professor X. But it seems like Professor X 100% might have been like, nah, I don't want that kid.
No, that's the thing. And that he would lie to the X-Men. Like, is that a comic perspective or is that, like, am I being fair? Is that this Professor X or not? But in the comics, 100%, I would believe Professor X was lying to everybody. Like, that's his standard fucking MO. He's a true piece of shit in the comics.
Yes.
Bastion is like, you know, the thing about Professor X is that he's right. Like, people are good. And that's actually the problem. They're too good. And when they see heroes, they get bleeding hearts and they start trying to be better themselves. And, you know, he's like, tolerance is extinction, but worse than tolerance is empathy. And then we see Black Panther in action. The internet real mad about this, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
Because we see Black Panther in action. Later on, King T'Chaka is involved in the decision to do the Magneto protocols. He gives a big flowery speech about it.
Yes.
But in the 90s Fantastic Four cartoon, King T'Chaka is dead right now. And T'Challa is Black Panther.
Oh.
Bo DiMaio said that it was not his choice to make T'Chaka the king and the Black Panther.
Okay.
It seems as though there is an in-Marvel thing to not use T'Challa anymore outside of the comics.
Oh, okay.
They're going to have to turn it around. I think when they started making this a bunch of years ago, I think I understand maybe they were feeling raw.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that people who are mad online don't understand is that when they began making the show 3 or 4 years ago, he had died recently.
Yes.
And these people knew him.
Yes.
And I feel like some of the decisions that they made at that point.
And I think a lot of them didn't know.
No, none of them knew that he was sick. No, none of them knew.
Yeah. So it was a shock to them. And they, you know, they didn't really have time to consider and think and plan ahead.
Yeah, I mean, like, no. Chadwick Boseman's brother said that Chadwick would prefer Black Panther be recast.
Yes. But
I think that at the time, I don't think anybody who was working on this stuff felt that way. And I think they all felt real raw about it.
Yes.
And so my suspicion is the decisions that were made to kind of take T'Challa out of associated media were made at a time when everybody was having real raw feelings about it.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be surprised if that perspective has changed behind the scenes now many years. Because again, this cartoon, they started doing this a long time ago.
Yeah.
They didn't do this last year. This cartoon got started years ago.
Yeah.
So, but people online are mad though.
Do you think we'll see a version of T'Challa show up in Secret Wars, for example?
No, there's not a chance.
No?
No, I don't think there's a chance. No.
Not like they're doing the whole multiverse thing. This is Earth 8243s.
Nope.
No?
Nope, I don't think so. I think it's going to feel – that's going to feel too weird.
I think we will.
I don't think so. We're going to see his son grow up to an adult overnight, but we're not going to see
I'm not even talking about like that they're going to like bring him in and be like, now this is Black Panther now. I'm saying like he'll just show up in a thing. But I don't think they're going to push what's her face out.
No, they definitely are.
That'll be weird.
They definitely are. What do you think they're going to have like him as like a reanimated digital ghost?
No, I'm saying they'll have like a Black Panther from a different reality.
No, I'm saying though, would they cast somebody else in that role?
Sure.
Or would they use the digital resurrection?
No, I would hope they would cast somebody else.
I don't think they will.
Or just keep the mask on or something. Like,
I don't think they will. I think that'll feel too weird for them. I think that'll feel too weird, I think. And I think they've already made their decision about getting rid of that character. So I would be surprised. I think it would feel weird. I honestly think it would feel weird if there was like Earth 87 Black Panther. Unless it was like Denzel Washington.
Yeah.
Like a great black actor.
Oh, yeah. Playing. No, you couldn't just go get like anybody. Like it would have to be, you know, a name. It would have to be somebody where people are like, oh, yeah. And Denzel Washington would be a great choice because Denzel helped him get his career started, right? So like.
Well, not only that, but then also you can have him show up and it's like this is the world where he lived.
Yes.
And this is the man he became. And like yes. He's the greatest hero of Earth 87 or whatever.
Yeah,
He can't be just another guy. But I think it might be just too weird. I mean, maybe you get. I mean, I'm trying to think like because like Denzel is like legend status, right? Like who else of any race is on Denzel? Like Denzel's like at the Harrison Ford level.
It's Denzel. Legend. It's Tom Cruise, which everybody was like, he's going to be in Multiverse of Madness.
And Tom Cruise
positive that. What's her name? Was Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise could play the role in Robert Downey Jr.'s blackface from Tropic Thunder.
There you go.
Dad, imagine the fucking meltdown if Tom Cruise showed up. Jesus Christ.
Or what if they just had Robert Downey Jr. in blackface come out and be T'Challa?
I would personally have to go to Burbank and burn down Walt Disney Studios. That's like so crazy if that happened. In this discussion, we see a bunch of other cameos. We get Black Panther, we get Cloak and Dagger, we get the Russian guys. I forget what they're called. I didn't look it up. Omega
Force or something.
Omega Force or something like that. And then we get Alpha Flight.
Yep.
With Psylocke for some reason.
Psylocke. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why Psylocke was in Alpha Flight.
They were on Genosha, right?
Were they?
I thought so.
Alpha Flight?
Yeah. We saw them. Didn't we see them in the...
I didn't think we ever saw Alpha Flight, no.
I thought we had. Maybe I'm crazy.
I feel like I remember seeing Puck. I'll tell you that much. But I think they were in the old cartoon.
Okay.
They were definitely in the old cartoon. Is that what you're confusing it with?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because they're part of Wolverine's backstory.
Yeah.
Bastion begins bullying Cable. But Cable won't answer, won't respond to him. Because Bastion's like, how many times did you go try to save your photocopy mommies? And then Sinister, who's controlling Cable, makes him answer. And Cable answers with a fucking yo mama joke.
Yep.
He's like, how many times you go back to save your mommies? And he goes, 200 times. And how's your mommy, Sebastian? Which is like so fucking good. That is like honestly amazing because she died last episode. So that is like very...
Well, she got shut down last episode.
I mean, she seemed dead.
I agree, but we see them all come back in this episode. Right. So
I guess, I mean, she definitely had a very intense dead feeling about her. A bunch of primes come down, including Joe Dirt, and they're about to shoot Cable in the back of the head. And so it's like, what the fuck? I was supposed to take him home. And Bastion's like, yeah, I don't think so. And then all of a sudden, boom, Phoenix comes out of the water.
Yep.
And, she takes, Sebastian had destroyed the device that Beast made to cut him off from the primes, and she brings it back together with her powers and puts it on his head. And then she pulls Sinister up to her, and she pulls all of the DNA that Sinister has ever stolen from other mutants out of him. And he ages into a horrifying old creature. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, is it good?
You didn't like it?
Oh, I enjoyed it very much, but last week you would have said that this was the worst thing he could ever do.
Why?
This makes them as evil as Sebastian.
How could this make them as evil? He's taking away.
This is what we discussed last week.
God, am I the dick? Is that the deal? Are you sure I'm the dick?
No, on this, I'm the dick.
Okay.
But that's what you said last week. You're like, taking away his powers. Just as
bad. She's taking away his powers. She's taking away things he stole from other people.
They put the thing on Sebastian, which is what your whole thing was last week. And she's pulling things out of Mr. Sinister.
Well, so here's the deal. They didn't neutralize Sebastian's powers. They just cut him off from his primes. So they cut off his communications. And that could always come off. That doesn't have to stay on his head. He's not altered now. And two, Sinister steals people's DNA. This is ill-gotten stuff. These are not his powers. These are things that he stole from others and killed them in the process. It's ill-gotten gains. And so to take this away from him is fair because it doesn't actually belong to him. He wasn't born with this stuff. He's a scientist who put this shit into himself. That's different.
You were speaking of a whole different song last week.
Bastion was born that way. I think you can put a restraining thing on somebody, but I think you can't take away their powers forever.
Last week you said he couldn't.
No, I said you couldn't take it away forever.
And the thing was never going to take away his powers.
No, that was
the thing. Apparently, it doesn't even take away his powers, which is like, why'd you even make this fucking thing?
No, that was the. In fact, they said if we did this a little bit differently, we could neutralize his powers forever. Yep. And that's when Storm was like, no. But this just cuts off his ability to communicate with the primes. That's all that this does. And that could, if they took it off his head, it would just stop again. But what Storm got mad about was not that they were going to make a thing that could take away his powers for a minute. It was a thing that would take away his powers forever, just like her powers have been taken away forever. Although she got them back, but like conceptually they were taken away forever. So anyway, I'm not going to have that fight again. I love that he becomes ancient. I love watching the DNA come out of him. And then the Phoenix Force leaves just when they really need him the most.
I like that it leaves and then Jean Grey goes, it's gone now forever.
Like, yeah, it's like, yeah. I don't think so, Jeannie.
Yeah, come on.
But
it's gone now until the next time where we need it to save everything.
I mean, really, they really could have used it a whole bunch in this episode.
Really could have handled everything at this point, yeah.
Well, Bastion comes back and does my favorite thing in this episode, which is he tears off Cable's cybernetic arm and then beats him about the head with it.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
It's so fucking good. Yeah. Just beats the shit out of Cable.
Well, I guess the rest of the X-Men just stand there and watch.
Just stand there and watch. It's so good. There's a lot of comic book stuff in this episode. Like, yes. When you're reading in a comic, you don't really take into account that everybody's just standing around looking at things.
Or that everyone in this episode can breathe in space.
But in comics, like, there's a part in this later on when the X-Men show up on Asteroid M and Storm gives Scott the update on how Nathan is doing. Yep. And it's exactly what would happen in a comic. But when you're watching it on TV, you're like, why is Bastion just standing there letting them talk? Yeah. Like, he should be killing them right now.
Forge is helping Cable. He's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, but like,
they're having stew.
But that's such a comic book thing that, yes, I'm totally okay with it. Like, that's how this happens. These characters have long conversations in times when they should not be able to be having long conversations. And actions happen while people just sort of stand around off. Like, if they're not in the panel, then they're not existing in that moment.
Yeah.
He then takes the arm and he absorbs the techno-organic technology of his arm and becomes Mecha Bastion.
Yes.
And then he says, you know what? Fuck all of you. And by all of you, I mean everybody in this whole planet. I hate you guys and I hate the humans. And so I'm going to throw Asteroid M at the Earth and I'm going to wipe out all life on Earth, which is not great. Back on the asteroid, both Magneto and Chuck are unconscious. There is a thing here that I'm like a little confused by.
Okay.
I know that nobody's going to like put Rogue in handcuffs.
But they never even discuss Rogue and what's his face, Sunspot.
And on top of that, when she's putting them in the chairs and buckling them in, she's like, "Boy, these two little boogers just knocked out, didn't they?"
Yeah. Like, well, they're just all tuckered out.
There's like a weird element to the way that she's talking that just does not feel like – it's like really out of nowhere. It's like, wow, tonally Rogue. You're like very comfortable back with the team now that you just – having just betrayed them 25 minutes ago.
Well, later on, she's like, we're the X-Men, sugar. We never give up. And none of them are like, you quit. You left.
You definitely went to the bad guys.
Yeah.
I mean, like letting the X-Men back – X-Men quitting and coming right back, that's part of the deal. It's a very open roster. It's just very funny within the context of this story that she is just like talking like nothing happened.
Yeah.
But it's very much like George Costanza coming back to work on Monday.
Yes.
That's what she's doing.
Very much so.
She's doing it. George Costanza quits his job and then just comes back to work on Monday and pretends like nothing ever happened.
The other thing I enjoy in this sequence is that they're putting Wolverine on the table and they give him an oxygen mask so he can breathe better. And they're like, his healing factor is not working. And nobody bothers to put gauze on him. He's just laying there bleeding out. It's like, hey guys, why don't you help him out? Give him a little help.
Inside the head space, we see that Magneto has lost his memory. Charles has basically wiped his mind. And so now we have Charles and Magneto having a discussion inside brain space where Magneto does not know who he is anymore.
This is all directly from Quantum Leap, by the way.
This is all directly from the comics. They know that Bastion's coming now. And they're like, fuck, he's going to blow up the gravity core. I love this, by the way. The gravity core has never been mentioned before.
Nope.
It's never explained.
Nope.
But you don't have to. Like, it's like, I get it. Like, once you show it to me, I got it. I totally got it. Like, that just is.
Oh, it's the gravity core. Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing I hope that other adaptations understand moving forward.
Yes.
That you don't have to have a whole sequence where somebody's like explaining the gravity core. Yeah. They can just say the gravity core.
Yeah.
And then you look at it and you go, okay, of course the gravity core.
It helps the name makes it real clear what it does, right? Because later on, there's a bit that we'll get to where some lady talks and she might as well just be talking gibberish. it's like, what? Yeah.
So the X-Men are ready for Bastion to show up. Nightcrawler begins praying his rosary. Sunspot tries to apologize to Jubilee for everything he did. And then Rogue interrupts him because Sunspot's like, listen, I just got my powers yesterday, so this is not going to go well for me. Which I actually liked. That was a very realistic take on this thing. And she busts in and she goes, listen, sweetheart, the odds may be bad, but the cards are always in the X-Men's favor. I like that very much.
Yeah.
Bastion busts in and he goes right to the gravity core and he's going to go destroy it.
Oh, we should have been in the gravity core. Just standing around here.
But Rogue shows up and she beats the shit out of him. She punches him out of the asteroid directly into the blue area of the moon.
Directly into the Inhumans' base.
That's the blue area of the moon, yeah.
Yeah. And I guess they're just like, we're not dealing with this.
They haven't lived there forever.
Well, we don't know what's going on in this, right?
I think that they did the blue area of the moon in the old show.
Oh, did they?
Okay. Yeah. There appears to be Apocalypse's face on one of these buildings.
I wasn't sure if that was supposed to be Apocalypse's face or if that's something from just the Jack Kirby design, you know?
It looked like Apocalypse's face to me. And with how this episode ends, I think that that's not accidental.
But I don't disagree. But also, I mean, that is a very Jack Kirby looking kind of thing. So it's I couldn't say. I didn't look up to see what their base looks like in the comics to see if they have something.
Yeah,
like
I think the thing is that when you're making the show and you know how you're ending it with Apocalypse, if you put a thing in it that looks like Apocalypse and you have the camera sit on it for a minute, sure. Yeah. It's going to make people think it's Apocalypse. I think that's just the deal. This episode has some of my favorite cartoon shit, which is that the moon and the Earth have no distance between them. Because Asteroid M is caught in Earth's gravity, but she punches Bastion out of the ship directly to the moon. Yes. And that's a three-day trip. But she does it in about 2 seconds, and it does not seem far. It seems quite close. I kind
of
love it.
By the way, I'm looking at a Jack Kirby drawing of the blue side of the moon, and there is, in fact, a big face.
Crazy.
Yeah, but it doesn't look like Apocalypse in this drawing.
Yeah, so I think that might be a thing. I don't know. Yeah. So they go to the blue side of the blue area of the moon. They fight, and Bastion gets the better of Rogue. He puts her in a chokehold. I had some thoughts about this.
Okay.
If somebody doesn't need to breathe in space, would a chokehold really – could you put Superman in a chokehold?
He's cutting off the blood supply.
Is that what
I thought about that too, and I was like, oh, you know what? He's probably got the artery, right? So
yes, he's putting her in a sleeper hold. Because she's doing choking noises, but like –
she's doing choking noises, but that's how I took it. It was like, oh, he's – I mean, first off, I don't understand why she's not dead. As far as I know, she cannot exist in space.
She certainly can. She has Captain Marvel's powers.
But she can't – she needs to breathe.
I think that she's like Superman. She just doesn't have to breathe in space. Why?
Uh-oh.
Why is my Alexa keep talking to me?
There you go.
I think that she's like Superman. She doesn't have to breathe in space.
I don't know. I don't
like she just holds her breath or whatever, you know?
Like that in the comics?
I feel like we have. I feel like Rogue is definitely one of those characters who you bring into space.
But like, is she in space and wearing a costume? You know, like a suit?
No, I think that she's just in space a lot. I think I've seen that a lot. That feels like a thing that I have seen.
Okay.
Sunspot.
Sunspot and Jubilee definitely cannot.
Well, Jubilee falls out of the ship while they're in the atmosphere, and you can tell because the asteroid M is burning up already.
No, you can see the Earth very far away in the background in that shot.
No, they're in the upper atmosphere because asteroid M is already burning up. It has to be in the atmosphere to be burning up. It has to be.
I agree that the ship might be in the atmosphere or whatever. When they show them, the Earth is like hundreds of miles away from them.
they're technically in the upper atmosphere. She probably would not be able to breathe or have a conversation at that height, but it's comic book stuff. So it's a good shot. So I'm not going to get too worried about it.
That's why, like, it's not something where I was like, what is happening? But it was definitely a thing where I was like, she's dead.
So Sunspot comes and saves Rogue. And he announces himself as Sunspot, not just Bobby. And meanwhile, on Earth, the world leaders are meeting, and they are going to do the Magneto protocols. Captain America's like, do not do this. This is a bad fucking idea. And T'Chaka's on the phone. He's like, our children will hate us for this. This is very, very bad. Back in the mind, Magneto begins to put together the pieces of his memory. He remembers everybody leaves him, that Rogue left him. And Chuck says, listen, we've never abandoned each other. And then they begin.
What made me laugh too is that he's like, Rogue. And you see on the boat, it's Rogue. And then you can see that like Wanda and Pedro are there, but they're shadowed. And Polaris is there, but she's in shadows. And it's like, there's your children. But you're thinking about the teenager you blasted a couple of times.
Well, I mean, like, they're his children. Maybe. Depends on which continuity we're talking about right now. In this,
they seem to be his children.
I mean, I guess that does seem to be the case. I think even Polaris isn't his kid anymore.
Well, in the comics, he pulled a Yondu, didn't he? He's like, I may not be your father, but I'm your daddy.
That was a big thing, yeah. I guess that's become the middle ground for Pietro and Wanda. I don't know what Polaris' situation is at this point. He begins to remember the past, and he begins to remember the Holocaust, and he begins talking in a German accent. And he remembers his family, but he can't remember their faces. And Chuck starts making this argument that family is not blood. Family is sort of a group of people that you bring around yourself. And that becomes kind of the crux of the philosophical argument. Meanwhile, Bastion beats up Sunspot and Rogue and goes back to the asteroid. On the way, Nightcrawler waylays him and begins bamfing him around and fighting him. And Bastion finally shrugs him off. And then Cyclops begins fighting him, and they have a beam off, a classic beam off.
Yep.
And Scott says, "You're not gonna hurt my family anymore." And he does his Marvel versus Capcom finishing move.
Yes, he does.
Which I thought was very delighted by.
Yes.
It's actually a good finishing move for Cyclops, frankly.
Oh, it's great.
Because it has like that like energy of him like crossing the X and then pulling his arms back. It's very, very good. And then, but Bastion beats him up, and now it's just Jubilee. And Bastion says, "What are you going to kill me with the power of 4th of July?" And she's like, "You better fucking believe it." And she rips him to pieces.
He somehow breaks her glasses. I can't figure out how that worked.
And yeah, it happened at some point in the thing. I don't know.
Like, they go past each other, and all of a sudden her glasses are broken. And I was like, I wish I could tell what's happening.
I mean, it's just cool looking, I think.
It's very cool looking. I was just like, I don't understand how that works.
She rips him up, and she gets a sentinel head knocked on him. And then he gets up. Half of his face is gone. She did the most damage to him out of everybody.
Yeah.
She really fucked him up.
Here's a question, because the way she damaged him, his metal face is gone, and his skin is out again.
Yeah.
If Rogue touched him, would something happen?
What do you mean?
Like, because Rogue's ability is to suck away, like, people's energy and stuff, right?
Oh, probably. I have to say so.
But he's more techno now, right?
I mean, she would take away his life force. He'd pass out either way because he's still human.
I guess.
He's still flesh enough, I think. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how much of him is flesh now, because he seems to be almost all metal, but then like he's got some, because like you see his jaw, and his jaw is metal, but he has flesh, some flesh. So I don't know if how much human is left in him.
Yeah. I don't know.
That was a thought I had. I was like, well, just bro, go touch him. And I was like, well, but he's kind of a robot now, right? I don't know if there's enough human left for that.
I think also the thing with dudes like this is that Rogue, it's like very dangerous for Rogue to touch them because they're totally fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And that's very bad for her. Like that's like could break. Like she'll break potentially. Yeah.
And it's not like there's any point in this where they're just sitting around and she doesn't bother. It was just something that crossed my mind.
She's currently knocked out, right?
Yeah.
Bastion says, "Oh, you talk about family. Here's my family." And a sentinel busts in, but guess what? It's full of the X-Men.
Yes.
Because Forge and Beast fixed this sentinel up, and they made it. It's a Trojan horse, as Beast takes two sentences to tell us.
He really wants to make sure we understand what he's talking about.
Bastion picks up the sentinel and begins lifting it. Kurt says something here that is a key to solving the problem of Bastion, but I don't understand why he says it here. Because he's definitely seen strong guys pick things up before.
Yeah.
He says, "Truly, he is the future incarnate," which has been like kind of the going thing with Bastion. That like, he's the future. He's the future. Well, I'm the future.
Future's coming right at you.
Right, exactly. Right, yeah. And so that's been the thing. And this, though, sparks an understanding. As the X-Men get ready to go back to fisticuffs again, this sparks something in Scott. And he goes, "Team, stand down." And he says, "You know what? Maybe the answer here is to do what we keep telling humans to do and stop fighting the future and try to embrace it." And Cyclops starts saying, "Hey, listen, Bastion, I know how tough it is, man. Like, Professor X really wanted to help you. But I know what it's like to have a whole life that you built up for yourself and have every piece of it come crumbling down, and you're trapped in the wreckage. And I totally get it." And Bastion is like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And he has a great line. He goes, "I massacre you freaks, and now you're recruiting me." Which I love, but that's what the X-Men do, man. That's the whole deal.
half our team are genocidal maniacs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where would we be without that? So he says humanity's going extinct. And Gene says, no, they're having babies, and more of those babies are us. And he says, humanity would rather die than have kids like us. And that's when everybody realizes the Magneto protocols have been gone off. And the missiles hit. The missiles hit Asteroid M, and it breaches the gravity core. Yep. And now Bastion finally decides to reach out to the X-Men for help. Gene has them in a bubble so that they're safe. And they're like, Bastion, come to us. Why Gene can't just pull him towards us? I think she's just like, fuck you, Bastion. He reaches out, but it's not enough. He gets pulled into the gravity core. And I'm assuming we can assume he's dead, but not in a way that will stop him from coming back. Yeah. Right?
He could have just been sucked into the time like everybody else does.
Exactly. The problem is the Magneto protocol didn't work. It's supposed to destroy Asteroid M, but that didn't happen. Asteroid M is just now falling into Earth.
We're all out of ideas. Again, you want to do something? No? That's cool.
Jubilee gets sucked out of the ship. Sunspot saves her. He lands her on the ground. They're trying to figure out what to do. They know that this is like an extinction level event if this asteroid hits the Earth, that everybody's dead. And so Scott says, everybody get on the ship. I'm going to stay in here. I'm going to blow up this whole asteroid from the inside. And they're like, Gene's like, it's going to kill you. And Scott says, it's what you would do. It's what you've already done.
Yep.
And he goes, that's why, you know, you've sacrificed yourself. Gambit sacrificed himself. And Rogue says, no, Gambit sacrificed himself so that we could live. And Hank figures out, because, you know, actually there is a way to save this asteroid, stop it, and put it back in orbit. But we're all going to have to do our parts perfectly. So everybody's ready. They're ready to give up their lives. They know that, like, this might be the last X-Men mission. Cable is in the diner on the Galapagos Island healing up. And then Scott and Jean come in on a psychic phone call. Oh. And what?
Before this, there's a bit I liked.
What's that?
Where Storm is on the walkie with Forge. And she's like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to use the Blackbird's engine or whatever to do this.
Right.
And Forge says, how will you get back? There's a billion other spaceships they could use. Like, again, we know the Avengers around. We know the Fantastic Four around because Morph turns into Mr. Fantastic at one point in this episode.
Right.
You could probably be like, hey, they just saved the whole Earth. Can we borrow your Quinjet to go get them off that?
I mean, that's Earth? Always the story. Why couldn't the fucking X-Men land?
No, I
just – that Jean Grey turned into Phoenix.
How will you get back? It just made me laugh very hard.
Hey,
man, we'll figure that out. We'll be okay.
Scott and Jean do a phone call to Cable, and Cable's like, you know, I'm really fucking mad because I grew up hearing all these stories about the X-Men, and I should have been in those stories. That should have been my life. And he says, but you know what? The legends don't live up to the truth of my mom and dad. And Scott says, you know, I'm not making the same mistake my dad made and that I already made when I sent you to the future. And Cable's like, what mistake is that? He goes, not saying goodbye. And Cable goes, oh, it's that kind of ending.
Yeah.
I like that very much.
Yeah,
that was good. And then Scott says, you know, you do have my – your mother always said you had my eyes, and you do. And so Scott shows him his eyes. Gene holds Scott's power back so that Cable can see his daddy's eyes one time.
There was a moment I really was hoping that would happen, and then Cable would be like, you know, you guys are all just blue, right? I can't – you're not really hearing color. That would have been funny.
On the radio, humanity's like, okay, that's it. We're fucked. The world's going to end in 2 minutes. Everybody's freaking out, and we cut to Wolverine in the sick bay, and Wolverine's saying, Gene. And Morph says, you know what? She can never say this to you, but I can. And he changes to Jean Grey. He goes, Wolverine, I love you.
Now kiss.
Bo DeMaio has confirmed this was gay.
Yeah, I mean, how could anyone doubt it from watching any of these episodes?
No, I know.
How could anyone doubt it from watching the original series?
I know, but it very specifically that this is Morph using the form of Jean Grey to tell Wolverine what he truly feels.
Yes.
That it is, that that's what's happening here. That it isn't just Morph doing like a, oh, wouldn't it be nice for you to hear this from Gene? But like, yeah. I can't say this myself, so I'm going to say this to you from Gene.
Maybe we were in the shower, like that one.
Well, that's the thing. That was like, yes. inside the mind, they continue to talk about the idea of family, because this is a big thing for Magneto, because he can't remember his family's faces. And Charles is like, there's a power in seeing someone that resembles yourself, but that isn't everything. Says, we're a family. The X-Men are a family, and we have a dream that we share that makes us a family. And this jogs Magneto's memories. This kind of gets him back to that point where they're in the bar, and he remembers that conversation. It's, you're Charles Xavier. You have a dream. We have a dream.
Now he's got his accent back, too.
And his regular accent back.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, I think it's his journey through his own psyche. You know what I mean? Like, he's growing up. He wakes up and he flies out of the ship and he goes, Magneto lives! And he saves the day.
Yep.
But the asteroid implodes. Just gone. We cut to 6 months later. The X-Mansion is a wreck. People have, like, pictures and flowers outside. And Creed, Graydon Creed, is running against Kelly for presidency. They talk about a group that is sees Magneto as a messiah on the radio. And then that's not Costa Rica. It's Costa Verde, I think, which is a fake country from X-Men comics. We're in Forge's lab. We have the Days of Future Past board in Forge's lab. Marking off who's dead and who's assumed missing in action and stuff like that.
Somebody just say off planet.
Well, Scarlet Witch is off world. Yeah.
There's in like one other person's. I can't remember whose, but somebody else says it too.
So Bishop shows up and he's like, hey, buddy. And Forge is like, what are you, crazy walking in here talking like we're friends? He goes, we are friends, just in the future. So I'm here to talk to you about the X-Men. And Forge is like, it's been 6 months. I've not been able to find a trace of them or the asteroid. They're dead. I've given up on it. And Bishop has a great line. He goes, this ain't my first time at the X-Men or dead rodeo.
It's funny. It's a good line, but I feel like the actor struggled with it because it is a very clumsy to say line.
It's a very clumsy to say line. It's not an easy to say line.
No.
And Bishop says, listen, someone or something has pulled the X-Men through time. They're alive. They're just lost in time.
Well, he says it's not where they are.
It's when they are.
And that's when Ford should have been like, get out, dude. You were just full of stupid sayings.
Just speak to me, man. And then we cut to 3,000 years ago in Egypt. And some of the X-Men have shown up in Egypt. And what?
You skipped the part where the episode should have ended.
What's that?
Which is when Bishop turns to Forge and says, "It's our now we're going to have to go and save the X-Men. And then Forge goes, And then it cuts to white. And I was like, God, let that be the end. Let the final moment of this episode be him be essentially answering the same as if somebody's like, hey, you want to get a pizza? But no, it continued. I was very sad.
3,000 years ago, the X-Men show up in ancient Egypt. And see a bunch of guys with like hawk masks being mean to people. And so Rogue goes and picks a fight with them. And then they discover that these guys are fighting another dude, and it's pretty obvious who this dude is because you can see his jaw. But they save him, and
You can't see his jaw. He's got a mask on.
No, you can see his fucking jaw. He's got his arm up like Bela Lugosi's dentist in Plan 9. But you can see the blue line coming up the side of his face.
Yes.
And then he introduces himself as En-Sabah. What's his real name?
En-Sabah-Ur,
which anybody reading the comics says this is Apocalypse, the very first mutant back when he first was showed up on Earth.
What I love about this is that he says his name and then it cuts a shot of the X-Men and Beast is holding Professor X and Beast just turns to the right and walks away. And I was like, Beast is like, I'm fucking out. with this. That made me laugh so hard the way he just walked. He was just like, I'm out. I'm done. Not doing this.
Let me ask you a question. So then we also cut to 3,000 years in the future, and Scott and Jean are there.
Yes.
Where is Wolverine?
I'm guessing Wolverine's with the others, or maybe Wolverine is going to have his own mission, or maybe they forgot he existed like they did throughout most of this episode.
It's kind of weird because like
and Morph, or was Morph there with the...
No, I didn't see Morph. So I think Wolverine and Morph are separate. Yeah, maybe they're separate. I mean, that makes some sense. I'd actually be kind of cool if in season two, Morph and Wolverine were time skipping through Wolverine's life.
That'd be interesting.
That wouldn't be too. I'd be okay with that if that was the case. Like, or did they have to go put the adamantium back in him by going back to Project X?
Yeah.
To Weapon X, sorry. 3,000 years in the future, Cyclops and Phoenix.
They have to get the adamantium back in them by going to watch that found footage comedy, Project X.
3,000 years in the future, Cyclops and Phoenix run into the Ascani people. And this is the part where I said, what the fuck? Are you kidding me? They're adapting the adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix on this show?
Yep.
And they sure are, because the Ascani don't know who strangers are. And then a little kid shows up, and it's fucking baby Cable, little Nathan. And he says, I sense they're totally cool. And my mind was blown. That's where they're taking this. Like, I was like, yeah. I never, ever would have guessed that that was the story they were going to tell. In the comics, the Adventures of Cyclops and Phoenix, Cyclops and Phoenix end up in the far future, and they raise Cable.
On their honeymoon.
Yeah, I think it's on their honeymoon. And they, but they don't tell Cable that they're his parents.
No.
He knows them as Slim and Red. And that's it. He only, they never tell him. So he maintains his chip on his shoulder that he never knew his family, while his family gets the opportunity to actually raise him. Seems really one-sided to me.
Seems also really impossible.
Why?
They look just like themselves. You know? Like, they don't look any different. In the story, it's one thing that's always bugged me. And also, they're using the well-known nicknames, Slim and Red.
Well, that's actually funny, because, yeah, eventually, like, when he comes back in time, he should have fucking put two and two. I guess he does put two and two together, right?
Yeah, something figures it out.
I think the thing is that because they don't spend – they spend 12 years with him. Yeah. They show up when he's a baby in the comics.
Yes.
So he's not a young adult already. He's a baby. And they leave him when he's 12. So he probably has, like, 30 years before he goes back in time. So I think that's enough time to, like, not – have a good memory of their faces necessarily.
Yeah, maybe.
And you might go like, wow, these people really remind me of my parents.
Wow, these people have the same exact powers as my parents. And the same nicknames.
Anyway, that's the end of the episode, except there's finally a post-credit scene.
Oh, and there was? I didn't watch it.
Are you kidding me?
No.
It's Genosha. And it's the ruins of Genosha. And kneeling in the middle of the ruins, bemoaning the pain and suffering of his children, is Apocalypse. And he pulls one of Gambit's cards out of the dirt.
Oh, he's going to make him into...
And he talks about death.
Horseman. Yeah.
Which is a thing that happened in the comics. Gambit became the Horseman of Death.
There you go.
So that's going to be how Gambit comes back next season.
Hmm.
And that's the end of the episode.
There you go.
What did you think of
this? It was good. It was good. I enjoyed it. We missed one bit. My favorite moment in the episode.
What's that?
Which is when they're getting ready to do the Magneto protocol or whatever.
Yep.
And King T'Chaka gives his speech. And then this lady goes, Mr. President, the Gravity Core. And I laughed very hard.
I think she's supposed to have an Australian accent, but I'm not really sure, though.
Mr. President, the Gravity Core. I don't know what accent she's supposed to have. But it made me laugh.
Oh, man. What'd you think of this one?
I liked it. It was good. It did not – like, one thing I really liked, we didn't discuss this. I really thought they were leading into what's it called? When Professor X became Onslaught.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, our minds are going to have to go through this together, me and Magneto. And he's like, well, you know, I'll be here until the end, blah, blah, blah. And that's what happened with Onslaught, right, was that their minds kind of melded together and – Xavier took on Magneto's anger and then became Onslaught, right? So that's what I thought was happening.
I can't entirely remember how that actually worked out, but yeah.
It's something like, because that's why Onslaught looked like Magneto, right? Wasn't that part of the deal? I think. I don't know. Maybe not. I can't remember. But that's where I thought they were headed, was that they were going with Onslaught. And I'm happy they didn't. I'm very shocked. They still might. I'm very shocked that they went with Jean and Scott raising Cable in the future. That was shocking.
Yeah, I'm very surprised by that. I'm kind of curious how that story plays out, whether they actually raise him or they're just there for a little while.
Yeah.
Like, is this just like two episodes and then we get back to the present day?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't really know.
I do not know either.
It seems clear to me that Apocalypse is the big bad of season two, though, right? That's what's being set up here.
Sure. Yeah.
Because Apocalypse is the big bad of the future. And he's obviously in Egypt, and he's today turning Gambit into his Horseman of Death. So clearly it's going to be a season two about Apocalypse. Now the question is how that's all going to play out.
I feel like it's going to be a while before everyone gets back. And we're also going to see Bishop and Forge create a new X-Men, if you will. like a New Mutants almost?
I would love that that was the case. It was a New Mutants and Bobby DaCosta runs it.
Yeah.
And we just bring the New Mutants in. I would fucking love that. I'm dying for that.
Frankly. I mean, with them being like, hey, Sunspot and Jubilee, make sure you're back on Earth before everything goes bad. That's the feeling I kind of got from that was like, oh, they're going to form the New Mutants. You know, and like Forge and Bishop are kind of like lead them in some way.
I mean, this end of the story reminded me a lot of the Siege Perilous story in the X-Men comics, where the X-Men seemingly died and then actually went to go live in the Australian outback.
Yeah.
One of my actual favorite eras. I really love that era. Honestly, I think some people don't like it, but I really like it. So I think that I wonder how much of that, is going to be playing into this story, like what the post Siege Perilous, status quo was like.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. I'm very curious.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know. But it was a good episode. I know that.
It was a good season, man. What a fucking great season of television.
Yes.
Really going to be sad not having that back. I love that's a good Wednesday morning thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sad that it's going to lead to a lot of revival animated shows that aren't going to be good. That's my theory on this.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? I'm not talking about just Marvel. I'm talking about like...
No, I know. I know what you're talking about. I don't think so.
No?
No. No, I don't. First of all, I don't think there's enough shows that have that to them. James Gunn's already said they won't do that at DC.
Yeah.
So that leaves Marvel, really, because I don't know who else is going to do this. Like, what are other shows? I mean, there might be a Ghostbusters.
Gargoyles. The guy who created Gargoyles is constantly trying to get them to do another series.
I mean, to be fair, the Gargoyles thing, that has been a thing that guy's been trying to do forever.
Forever, yeah.
So that doesn't feel like that opens the door for him.
I mean, honestly, I'm shocked that they haven't already done it, to be honest.
I mean, with Disney Plus, it does feel like a kind of a gimme. I think if somebody got like a Gargoyles thing trending in a big way, I think maybe they would do it. But I wouldn't hold that against them if he took this opportunity to get that, because he's been wanting to do that forever. That's been a thing he's been talking about, like, I mean, like for a decade or two.
I think like the moment Gargoyles ended.
Canceled. Yeah. Cause that wasn't supposed to be the end. Right.
Yeah.
I'm not a Gargoyles guy, so I don't really have a good,
I liked it.
I'm not like, I don't have a good understanding of it necessarily. Yeah. But that I would not hold that against the show if they use this opportunity to get that back. Cause it's what they wanted to do. I don't think that they're going to do that. They have another Spider-Man show coming. So at least that show is going to have at least a season or two before they can bring back the old 90s Spider-Man. They're just not going to have two Spider-Man cartoons on at the same time. They're just, Fantastic Four maybe, but I think the problem with Fantastic Four is they have Fantastic Four movies coming.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure they're going to want to do separate continuities in that way. The X-Men cartoon, they got moving a bunch of years ago. And I think that there was no sense that this might be what it has become.
Yes, I agree.
This is huge. I mean, I don't think that they expected it to be this big.
No, I think they were very surprised, I think.
Yeah, so... maybe an Avengers cartoon following up from that, maybe. But I wouldn't even complain about that, frankly. So, no. I mean, that's not the worst. I mean, like, I think there should be an Avengers cartoon on television anyway, so.
Sure.
But I don't know. Like, yeah, Ghostbusters, I could see them doing that because the cartoon was such a big touchstone for the movie, but the new movie didn't do well.
So, but a cartoon could, like, maybe a cartoon could do better, right? Like, okay, people don't want to go to theater for Ghostbusters, but... you know, maybe they'll watch a cartoon.
Maybe. I always wonder the feeling of how much they want to throw good money after bad.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like what the, yeah.
Like the Jason universe?
I mean, that's just because they can't get a fucking movie made. You know?
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Horror Inc. can't get a movie made. Nobody will make the movie. Yeah. So
seems like that should be real easy to do.
But it's not. It's been in fucking limbo for decades now. Like, studios have the rights to these things. They can't just make the movie.
I thought they had the rights now. I thought that was the whole thing, because they won the lawsuit and they had the rights.
No, they have the rights to certain characters and stuff, but it's like a still very complicated thing. And so I think that Warner Brothers has the, through Platinum Dunes, I think has the sequel rights. I don't think that they have the full rights back. I don't think anybody has the full rights right now, I think is the deal.
Oh, my God.
I think you can make a Jason movie, and I think you can make a Friday the 13th movie, but I think you can't make both.
It's amazing.
That's my understanding as of right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I completely missed it because I thought like he had everything now was the deal. Was the
no, movie, it, but it's just, for the, it's just for the movies. I think they have everything for everything else.
Okay.
So, but I think – don't take my word on this. I had not kept up on the last 2 years of the litigation and stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think it got solved. Okay. I think it's still in a bad place.
Man.
So, yeah.
Wacky.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy. So that's, I think, why that's happening, because they're trying to monetize this thing, which is all they really own, really. Like, but how do we monetize it? We can't think of making a movie out of it. You know? So,
yeah.
That's the deal. That's why the fucking TV show was going to be called Crystal Lake.
Mm.
So.
Well, there you go.
But yeah, I really loved this program. I had a great time this season. I did not expect to love this so deeply. And it not only did I love it very deeply, but it really re-sparked my love of the X-Men.
Yes.
And the way that the Marvel ended the Krakoa run is a disaster, I think. But I'm kind of glad that it ended, because I kind of, having coming off of this show, I kind of want to see like regular X-Men stories.
Sure.
Like, I'm kind of excited. So.
Well, I don't think you don't listen to Rob Liefeld's podcast, right?
No.
Before the show started, he did a whole thing on how to get the X-Men back on top in the comics. And it was essentially what this cartoon was. he's like, you just got to get back to the characters everybody loves and the stories that everybody enjoys seeing with the X-Men dealing with.
Right.
And that's not what the Krakoa stuff was. It went too long. You got to get back to the basics, to the wacky stuff. And yeah, I think the show proves he was very much right in many ways.
Well, we'll see. The comics haven't come out yet.
No, the comics haven't. But what I'm saying is the love that people have for the show.
Right.
You know, this is what, I mean, he is directly referencing the Jim Lee period of right. X-Men when he's talking about it. Like, right. And yeah, and that's in his era as well, I suppose. Right. So, but yeah. I mean, it's hard to look at this and not, I would imagine if you're Marvel Comics, look at this and not be like, we really need to refocus on these things. Like, clearly this is what people like and this is what they want to see. So.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, to look back at the books that worked and like the books that are considered legendary and say like, what is the common thing here? And the common thing is these characters having these kinds of adventures. Yeah. I mean, I like the Krakoa stuff, but it fell off very hard. Very, very hard. And that's Marvel's fault. There's been a lot of stuff coming out lately about how Marvel editorial fucked over some of the stuff that was planned for Krakoa.
It's the new Clone Saga.
Yeah. Never got finished correctly. It's not what the story was supposed to be. They had a different idea for how the story was going to end. You could tell when you read the original stories. You're like, oh, this is not where it was supposed to go.
Yeah.
Although it's funny. Many people are complaining about stuff like Hickman wanted to use Namor and he wanted to use Franklin Richards. And Namor belonged to a different editorial division and so did Franklin Richards. And both those divisions decided they wanted to do different things with those characters than what Hickman wanted to do.
Sure.
And so he couldn't use them. And people are like, this is why Marvel sucks. But actually the argument's the other way around.
Yeah.
Which is that the argument should be that, like, this is bad for creatives, but the argument should be this is good for creatives, because if you're the fucking guy writing Fantastic Four, it sucks to have somebody tell you this Fantastic Four character can't be in your comic.
Yes.
That sucks.
Like, I mean, the Giffen-DeMatteis Justice League came out of different editorial groups being like, no, you can't use Superman. No, you can't use Wonder Woman. Right. No, you can't use Flash. No, you can't use Batman. Well, you can kind of use Batman, but not really. Right. Like, and that's how you get one of the greatest Justice League runs of all time, is because it's like, who do we have? We have Booster Gold. Like, okay, we got to make this different than what has existed before in a fun way. Right. Well,
yeah, and I think the thing is, I love Hickman. I think Hickman's great, and I'm glad that he's doing the Ultimate stuff because he has control over that whole universe, so he can use whatever characters he wants, however he wants to. But, like, you can't walk in and say, I want Franklin Richards to be doing this, because he's just not your character.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, that's just the deal. Now, I will say that I think that what Fantastic Four did with Franklin Richards is fucked up. They made him not a mutant.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think that's fucked up. Like, I would understand that if that was happening in the Ike days, but that happened more recently than that, I think. So I'm not, like, a big fan of that particular choice, but that is, frankly, the choice of the creative team.
Yeah. I wonder why they made that choice, though. Like, what the thought process was.
I don't know. I mean, Franklin has been so abused over the years because he got too much power.
Yeah.
He became God, you know. Too powerful. So he was trying to bring
him. Literally created a multiverse.
Yeah, he created a multiverse. Yeah. It's a little intense. But I don't, you know, but I get it. Like, you can't come out to the X-Men and say, I want these characters from outside of my sandbox.
Yeah.
You can't. Now, I wish that he could have, because I think it would have been better.
Sure.
But, you know, at the same time, I get it. So that's what you should do want as a
Namor during all of this.
I don't think they really did. No.
Well, that's too bad.
I don't think they really did. So, all right. So that's going to be the end of this episode. We are going to be on a little bit of a hiatus because Derek is going to the Emerald Isle for his birthday.
Yeah. Going to go see if I can find some leprechauns.
So good news, though. We have one more podcast to record before Derek goes away. It's going to be our episode of Watchmen, our monthly superhero deep dive podcast. And we're going to be talking about Chronicle, the 2012 found footage superhero movie that was supposed to launch a bunch of careers and only really launched one. And I'm not even sure Michael B. Jordan was even launched by that one.
It took him still a while to take off after that.
But he'd also been around before that.
Yes.
He had been a child actor. Like, he had been like in great stuff.
The Wire and
But
it wasn't – it was Fruitvale Station that really launched him, though, right?
Wasn't Fruitvale Station was the big thing. But this was – you know, this is definitely one of – this was like one of those movies that like – and you could see everybody. Like, Dane DeHaan was supposed to be a big deal. Josh Trank was supposed to be a big deal. Max Landis was supposed to be a big deal. And that only Michael B. Jordan came out of this unscathed. But we're excited to revisit it. We haven't seen it in a long time.
Yes.
And it's going to be fun to go back and watch this movie from a different era, the era of found footage. Film I remember enjoying, so.
Which I am a fan of found footage movies, so.
There you go.
Take that.
So we'll have that. That's for $5 and above subscribers at the Patreon. That, of course, is patreon.com/cinemasangha, CINEMASANGHA, SANGHA, once again. And that's for $5 and above subscribers. So come join and get us talking about Chronicle next time. And then we'll be back again in a couple of weeks. I don't know what we're going to be talking about. Do you? We're heading towards The Boys. That'll probably be our next actual show.
Yeah. Also, the new Batman animated starts in August.
But The Boys starts in June, so.
Yeah. No, but I'm saying.
I know, but that's not – the question is what's next.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not what's coming. Next, The Boys is the next superhero TV show, I believe. So we will – that's – is that weekly or no?
I think last season they did like 3 episodes on one day and then the rest came out weekly.
Okay. That's how they do it a lot. Fucking Max is doing Hacks 2 episodes a week and I kind of don't like it.
They did that with,
the other two.
The other two as well. Yeah. They do that with like their sitcoms or their comedies.
Burn through it. Like, it's too fast.
Yeah. Yeah. I with Hacks, I watch one and then I wait a couple days and then I watch the other. So
yeah, I think that's the right move.
I don't know why they chose to do that. I think it's a weird choice, especially like Hacks is a popular show too. Like, I would think you and this season. I haven't watched the ones that came out this week, but the season has been fantastic so far. The first
great season,
great
season this year. So. All right, so we'll see you guys again in a couple of weeks. Come join us on Watchmen. If you join us on Watchmen, you'll also get our other podcast, The Bad Batch, a Star Wars podcast. That'll be included in your subscription. You can't go wrong. $5 a month. That's less than one cup of coffee at the Starbucks. But until then, may you be happy, may you be healthy, may you be safe, may you be well. But most of all, may you remain a true believer.